do take a seat for a moment. I just want to invite Ahmed to join me. Ahmed Yubi, I know I've mangled that name, but it is the best attempt that I can make. He's representing Stand By Me, and is the title director?
Yes, yeah.
Supremo, Czar.
Coffee maker.
Coffee maker, yeah. I want to pray for Ahmed, but he's going to just share a little bit about his story. And I wanted to do this whilst the children were still here and the other parents that are going to be leading the groups are still here, because it's so moving and apt to hear what God has done in this young man's life. Can I call you young still?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Please. I don't feel it, but yeah.
Lord, we thank you that we are always your children. I thank you that you had your eye on Ahmed. Lord, you looked around the nations and you set your love upon him. Lord, and he has had his heart awakened to you. We thank you that through him, you have brought blessing and freedom to many other of your children. We ask that this day you would connect our hearts with his and with you, that together we might work for the power and coming of your kingdom. Amen. Amen. Welcome.
It's nice to be here with you this morning. I was just commenting earlier when I came that it's nice to come to a church that is busy praying before the service starts. I tend to go to a lot of churches and there's a lot of excitement trying to get things ready for the service. So it's nice to come to a church that is set on prayer before everything starts. So I want to encourage you to continue praying. My name is Ahmed, and I'm a director for Stand By Me. It's a children's charity that is rescuing kids from extreme circumstances. Some of our kids are orphaned. Some of our kids are being abandoned or abused. The very things that I think that you would not want for your children or anyone's children. These kids were born into the poorest communities, and they were seen as unfit to our society in many ways. But despite their sadness, we see potential. We see hope. So we pick them up, we dust them down, and we help them on their own feet. And through the provision of loving parents, healthcare, and education, we help them become who God wants them to be, who God intended them to be in the beginning. And over the last 24 years, we've rescued over 10,000 children. And I feel like we're just getting started. I feel like God wants to do more because of his love to people around the world. And we're caring for over 3,500 kids from Burma to Colombia to Ethiopia. Each child is unique. No two are the same. And I wish I could bring them here this morning just to allow them to speak and share their stories, their hopes for the future. We tried that, actually, but we had a lot of problems at the Home Office. So it's quite... And I don't think the stage is big enough for all of that. But this morning, the other thing is I wish I could take you with us so you can see the kids in person. So the best thing I can do this morning is to take you there via a film. I want to share a story of one family in Ethiopia.
Belisada fi Mary an kan jira tu dan bidu lo chopya ke sin jira ta un jo le sadan kana jin man kan ke sin jira da man kan mo ni kum man ganda ti bishan uga ti man bra sa ban kam ne si fan usha la garate na ora be ngar ka chamas ti bidu dan do jo le kana jo le sin sadan ar kitan kana namila bukke guru saban dirre jala bate na ma barbade kadatte karatten namarra de me fuden itto fisa jolle kan da fa ona du wala chuda wan to ko an tira do to ko ko si boni unta mari tingal ti ga unta mari ti gar to an ga ban naka jolle kan sassab de wol ti qabde yo wan ti sanya tan jira tan ya chiste kanafimmo achi keessa garuu seetiif baay'ee seen gammada guddaan gammadaatu seen kana keessa garuu baatteessanii rakkattee amman isan jiru kanaa gadi hin jira jechuudha. Abdii tokkoon qabutu mucaan konaa barattee darajaa borii abdii jedheen ishee abdadha.
Tiifan yeroo mana barumsaa dhattu kophee gaarii, uffannaa gaarii fi barumsa gaarii, nyaata gaarii argatti mana barumsaa. Barnooti siifan bor jireenya gaarii akkasiin jiraattu ishee gargaara.
Wayii narsiinsii ta'a, wayii doktariin ta'a. Seenaa keenya jijjiiran baradhee guddeen guddaa tokko irraan ga'a. Geenyi si barsiisii, si gammachiisa, jireenya kee faan guddisan teena jajjabeessi.
Ispoonsara siifanii abdii borii ta'anii fi barumsa booddeessee saaba ibsanii fi guddaan isaan galateeffatu.
As part of my job, I get the pleasure of going around seeing our project, and my colleague and I, we go around filming. And when I was in Ethiopia last year, we filmed three families, and sometimes you're really unaware of what people are saying. You're not really, because there's no translation that is equivalent on the spot, so you film and you come home, and then you put a film together. And I was very touched by this film. I was very moved by the film, because the lady, the mum, is so brave. And spoke so genuinely about things that she's facing, the hope that she hopes for her child in the future. I was touched by that film because I recognize those conditions in many ways. I myself grew up in Lebanon. I'm not sure if you can get the slides up going. I grew up in Lebanon in the 80s. I come from a Muslim family. My mom and my dad and four other siblings lived in the Muslim north of the country. But my dad was abusive, alcoholic, and he would spend all the money on gambling. So my sister would spend a great deal of time looking for opportunities to steal money from his pockets so she would buy us cheese or milk. And then she'd spend the next couple of evenings, couple of nights on the streets hiding in fear from my dad's abuse until he calmed down and the thing would start again and again and again. But one day my mom decided that was enough. So she decided to pack up and then run away with myself and my four siblings. She left the Muslim north and she came down to the Christian south. Now, Lebanon in those days was going through civil war. Ethnic cleansing was a very common feature. To arrive in Beirut, where we had to cross six different checkpoints, and every point there could have been execution based on our birth certificate. We are Muslim Sunni and we had to go through many, many barriers to get to the Christian south in Beirut. But that was the only place my mum could escape my dad, who was Muslim, who would have been executed, with no doubt. And we arrived in Beirut probably at the worst time possible. In 1982, the Israelis were bombing the city to pieces. But I was unaware, really, in many ways. I had a great childhood. The British had left, the French had come and left, and they left lots of toys and tanks to be our adventure playground. And I was unaware of the conditions that my family were living. And Beirut was not in a good place. And we went from one house to another house as a refugees, given different housing in the city. And this was a street where we end up living on. For me, that was normal. I guess if you live in this village here, every house is similar. It's not, you haven't got mansions and castles in the middle of Beckenham Palace. It's very, very similar, isn't it? Our house was very similar. Only our house had more holes than walls, I think. They had nine rockets into the building before we even arrived. So it wasn't the best place to start up life, but I wasn't aware. And the worst case was that my mum could not find a job. She was Muslim, and everyone would know that by her name. And she could not get a job, and she was struggling to provide us with an education or food or clothing. So she started to bake bread on the streets and bake bread, and she would sell it on the streets. And one by one, my siblings dropped out from school to share the responsibility of providing income. And then one day, my two sisters were knocking on this guy's door, and he was astonished that our 9-11-year-old girls were not at school, and he was wondering about the situation. So they explained to him about the conditions, and he decided to walk with them back to our house. Beirut had lots of landmines. He had to walk. He couldn't actually get in a car. So he traveled with my sisters for half an hour's walk and then came to tell my mum about this Christian home in Beirut. This guy was a Christian, and we weren't aware, really, but he came and introduced my mum and told her, there's a boy's home in Beirut. Why didn't you take your boy up there? Now, I wasn't aware. I was 5 years old, and we went on this journey up to the hills above Beirut, unaware. And then we arrived at the gate, and I realized what was happening. And I started to cry. I didn't want to leave my mum. At 5 years old, you don't want to leave your mum at all. And I was scared. And my mum, in that moment, kneeled down, and she said to me that she loved me. And she said that this was the best for me. And then she said that she hopes that one day I'll get a job, have an education, and then I would be able to support the family. And those words hadn't actually resigned very much until I heard that lady talk on video, and it kind of re-emphasized the whole situation. Now, at the orphanage, it wasn't the best environment, I must admit. It wasn't the great place that I would recognize today. But I had a chance to have an education, and because of the support of a sponsor in this country, I had an education. I was able to come to this country when I was 14. This is the orphanage that I grew up in. And one man in particular called David would come every year to the orphanage. And he was an incredible man. The orphanage was quite a dark place. And he would come for 6 weeks in Lebanon in the war. And he would turn our hell into heaven in many ways. 6 weeks of fun. And he would come every summer. And this guy was incredible. And at first I thought that, he loves Lebanon. He used to come every year. He loves the summer, the sun, the food. And to me, I knew Lebanon was a bad place. So in my mind, I thought, this England must be awful. Because he was coming over to holiday in Lebanon. But we learned later that he came because he loved us and because he loved Jesus. And he wanted to share the love of Jesus with us. And that left a mark in me, that this guy was coming. He would come on a plane, and then the airport would be bombed, and he'd be stuck in Lebanon for 3 months, and he would leave on a fishing boat via Cyprus. And the next time he'd come again. Extraordinary. And that man called David became my dad. He adopted me. He was my sponsor. And in 1995, I came to study in England. This is me at the top when I was a lot skinnier and good-looking in those days. They wouldn't let me do that now, I guess. And David was very moved by the environment in Lebanon. He was a headmaster of a school. He quit when he was 50, and he decided to set up a small charity in the shed at the bottom of his garden. And this was a shed. And his vision was to rescue 50 boys in Lebanon, where I grew up, to support the orphanage. And that ministry grew, and today we are caring for 3,500 kids in 7 countries around the world. And I always like to say is what started in a small shed, God multiplied and blessed. I went to school, university, and I worked in London for about 4 years. And then after a while, I thought, you know what, I'll give up some of my time, 6 months of helping David set up the organization. And that was about 12 years ago now. I keep saying to the staff that one day I'll go and get a job. And we're working in around the world, and God's incredible. I wish we had more time to share with you, and maybe later I'll be able to share one country in particular, Ethiopia, of our work, and to encourage you how God's impacting. We believe God performed miracles, but they're not just in the Bible, you know. It's happening today. So thank you for listening.
I have been in conversation with Stand By Me organizing ACMED's visit, and I've been speaking with Colin. Is it Colin? What was his surname?
Norford.
When he first said, well, I'd like ACMED to come and speak to you, I said, that sounds great. Can you just give me something that he's done? Or he said, well, here's a little clip of him being interviewed on the radio, and you shared your life story. I thought, we need to hear that. We need to hear that. Because it puts into context, doesn't it? Who better to speak for those children than somebody who's been through that experience? I defy anyone to argue with you. You're speaking from your heart. We give you an even warmer welcome and recognize God's calling on you. So thank you for being here today.